But I'm going to bring you back to a time when my great-great-great-great-grandfather was born, 1730. I'm going to paint a picture of the village life not far from here in a world that still exists today. Spring was arriving in the village called Tabiluk on the bank of the Skagit River, this today known as Concrete. The sun was just rising over the peaks and the surrounding valley. The longhouse was chilly from unattended fires. The young lady knew this was the day, the morning, and began to writhe in pain and expectation. Her firstborn was arriving. Soon, the area of the family's longhouse was full of assistant women and men. Men were commanded to wait outside. The forest edge was bustling against the longhouses. Men, surprised, looked up, seeing both eagles and hawks, ravens, circling the village. Sounds came from the trees. Branches and trees moved, calmly walking out where the bears, elk, deer, raccoons, minks, every known creature of the forest. Sounds ricocheted from tree to tree. In the shadows of the trail stood a huge, tall man or creature, humming, then into a long cry. The tall creature stood motionless, not paying attention to the men waiting. Colors of light and shadow took over the village. Apparitions appeared in the sky and around the old campfire. Songs, quiet at first, engulfed the village until every creature added to the chorus. Men bowed their heads and looked to the ground, not daring to look up at the visitors in their eyes, knowing they were from the other side, here to greet the new child of the village. The sun continued to rise, warming cool, damp forests, no regard for the events unfolding. Light was being fractured, focused and not focused, defined the village. Hours passed, minute by minute, waiting for the cheer or the sad greeting from the attending women. No food was eaten. No food was prepared. Ladles of water were passed around to each man. Baskets of water were carefully set inside the longhouse, the entrance for the women's needs. The afternoon arrived. The songs continued without breaks. Apparitions moved, bending light and forms as they moved about. Grasses and shrubs did not bend in their wake. The sun worked its way across the path, casting long shadows as the women came out of the longhouse holding a bundle wrapped in fine wool blankets and cedar wrap. Raising up the child to the sky, the men shouted in happiness. Birds, for the first time that day, rested in the high branches. Animals retreated back into the forest, and the apparitions blinked away, leaving only a ghostly song in their wake. Grandfather took the child, raising him up to the Creator, asking for his blessings. Then into the longhouse, presenting the boy child to his mother. Both mother and child exhausted. Sleep overtook them, the first quiet calm of the day. Evening time brought men and women together in preparation for an evening meal. The long day of fasting was over. Fires were rekindled. The hum of activity engulfed the whole village. News were sent out to the Swinomish villages. News of runners were sent out across the Cascades to the Wenatchee people, the Snohomish, Snoqualmie, and Yakima. The young mother, who was new to the village, just over a year, her marriage had been arranged by the head families from the Swinomish and Skagit leaders. The union was not a consideration of love, but a long-term family alliance through union, just a mother and father for generations before. All marriage had been arranged for the betterment of the communities. I want to paint a picture today about our life in the village and our relationship to the Creator. A time when the thought of being existing without the Creator in our day-to-day lives was unthinkable and unpracticable. There was no way to practice outside of acknowledging the Creator. And we also understood that all the creatures the Creator created would honor His will also, and recognizing my great-great-grandfather, who I carry his name to this day, Clockadub, and recognizing that child's birth and how important everyone's life is, and reinforces the message today is, are we aware of the environment that gives us solace and family and purpose? How much energy does it take to turn away from that to not understand the story I just told you? How can you live outside of the Creator's presence? The Creator doesn't look at people with judgment. Doesn't happen. Acceptance and love and the gift that you all have been given in life, your strengths, and with those gifts you're to help other people. When you start fulfilling those gifts, my grandfather is born into a life of obligation. He was born into a life of obligation. His son was born into a life of obligation. His son was born into a life of obligation. And I'm here. I get to recognize and see all the beautiful gifts from generations. I cannot understand the life without interacting with what the Western people call them guardian angels or angels. And the Native people, we call them the spirit helpers. It's the same thing, it's just semantics. So what was the relationship to each one of us from the angels? And I had a long talk with a friend of mine last week. I know you, many of you know Pastor Terry Kylo. We're going to write a book on prayer. And I said, what is it, Terry, the first thing that happened after the death of Jesus? He says, well, the curtain of the Holy Holies were ripped from top to bottom. What does that mean? It means there's no more intermediary between an individual and the Creator. Our world has recognized that there's no intermediary other than the angels who come on the Creator's behalf. And they're constantly talking to you. We miss a loved one. The loved one loved butterflies. Next thing you know, you're missing them, you're thinking about them, and there are butterflies everywhere around you. In my world, that's to be expected. Thank you for coming to visit me. Thank you for helping me tonight, because I'm missing you a lot today. If we learn to see the signs that the Creator gives us using the spirit helpers, the angels, it'll help us in our walk today. Help us be stronger in who we are. Help us find the purpose of our gifts, everything that we're really good at. I've talked to so many people that say, I'm not good at anything. And next thing you know, I'm visiting with them, and I said, you know, you make me feel so warm and comfortable and beautiful just being in your presence. What a wonderful gift. Everyone has a gift. My grandfathers were one of great obligation that last generations. You know, there's no such thing as not an important gift. But I want to thank you, everybody, today for joining and listening to this and sharing your time and company with me. the young ones and the older ones, you know, I appreciate you all the same. Thank you very much. So I'm writing a book. I'm compulsively writing books anymore. And so I've been asked to explain the history of Native medicine. So I have to find out how to explain Native medicine to the Western people, okay, to the new people. So scientifically, I think, okay, I'm going to go back to the point where originally there was like 6 or 8 different sapien species. And then we end up with one primary sapien species that we know today as each other. There still may be 2 or 3 more out there. We don't know. It's a beautiful thought that there's something still out there we haven't discovered yet. But collectively, the sapien species we know today had a day of awareness, a moment of awareness, when we left, we evolved out of the animal kingdom and into the sapien human kingdom. And imagine waking up one day in full consciousness. And this happened around the world. What happened was a sense of awareness that you could create a community, you could create a family, you could create a village, you could create a culture. One of the things that the awareness creates is a sense of curiosity. And when we expanded on curiosity, we live the benefits and also some of the troubles of our sense of curiosity today. But probably the first thing they realized was, how did this all come about? And quickly realizing that there is a creator involved to create the whole environment we exist in. And awareness of all the dimensions that it takes to create and interact with this world. And I say multiple dimensions, and all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, it's just kind of a little too far out there for me. But we use multiple dimensions all the time. Someone explained to me how a microwave works. Microwave communications. We've all had cell phone messages that have delayed half hour, a day, or 2 days. They travel the speed of light. Where does that go? What dimension does it interact with? We constantly count on understanding the world as we understand through physics with the recognition of multiple dimensions. In the original awareness, when people became aware, there's acceptance of that there are lots of dimensions involved. And as this evolved later on, we became aware of the horticulture, you know, which plants would work best for helping a situation, and what processes you could employ to help heal people. My tribe got very, 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 very good at this. The average age of the people born in 1730 was 130 years old. My great-grand-aunt, Lachalitza, was born in the late 1700s. There's a picture of her in 1933 working. She died in the late 30s. It was a lifestyle that you didn't live forever. No one lives forever. As a healer myself, I can't help someone live forever. You know, that's not my job. But that the life you, when you're here, is supposed to be sustaining yourself to expand on your gifts, the ones you're given. All this came out of a sense of curiosity and awareness at the moment we became human beings. So all across all the world, every indigenous tribe you hear, how long have you been here? And they all say the same thing. I've been here since the beginning of time. Our people have been here since the beginning of time. Well, science teaches you observation is perspective will give you a different summary. So when does time begin? So I put forth the theory that time begins in the time of awareness. When we came about and realized there was someone responsible for all this, we have the ability to create an environment, a family, a culture, and recognize and interact with all the dimensions that the Creator has put before us. Everyone in here has had this sense that someone is on their mind and heart a lot, and the phone rings, and that person calls up. And you say, I was just thinking about you. You were connecting with that person. They were connecting with you. They were reaching out to you. You were reaching out to them. Once you begin to recognize that and become aware of that, it's beautiful to find out there's a connection between everything. All these things are taught in the native world. I get a big kick out of this because I see science slowly catching up to the native understanding of sciences. There's a theory called string theory. And string theory was discovered through another theory called the two-slit experiment, where they shot photons at two slits. And then when they observed them, they got one set of results. When they weren't observed, they produced a second set of results. When they extrapolated that out, they found out there's particles called, you know, string particles, which are waves, they're particles and something else at the same time, and they connect everything in the world. Makes no difference where you are in the universe, they can react with each other. And Neil deGrasse talks about that. He says that's something that no human on Earth can understand. I'm listening to this whole theory going, it makes complete sense to me. It depends on what culture you're brought up in. We were never told not to be aware. We were never told, just ignore that over there. Be aware of that. If you want to be closer to your family, think about your family. You're missing somebody from the other side, you ask them to be with you today. And I guarantee you'll feel a sense of accompaniment. All the things that came out of the day of awareness are all the riches and the most beautiful things we can imagine today. All the sciences, all the humanities. And I want to focus on the good things. There's all sorts of bad things to talk about. I don't want to give that any thought at all. Bad things create, they feed on fear. And I'd rather feed the good part of humanity. So today we're all a product of that.